Lord willing, we're going to be studying about being deceived. It's very easy sometimes to be deceived, and other people, it's very hard to deceive them. There are some people that are very, very gullible, and they're very easy to deceive, and then there are other people that it's very difficult to deceive them. There are things that you can do as a child of God that will help keep you from being deceived by the devil. However, I want to say that I believe that everybody here, at one time or another, and probably many times, that you have been deceived by the devil. The devil is the number one deceiver, and his intent and purpose of deceiving you is to destroy our lives. And I pray that God will help us as we study the Word of God to understand that the devil deceives us, and then the devil sometimes will use people to deceive us. Other people can deceive us. And then sometimes the Bible talks about we deceive ourselves. So I pray that God will help us as we think about being deceived and about deceiving ourselves. First of all, I want to give you the definition of what it means to be deceived. To deceive someone means to make a person believe as true something that is false. Make you believe that something's true that's false. Reading now from God's Word from Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Let me just pause right there to say that he looked like a lamb, and he sounded like a dragon. Now, the word lamb in the Word of God, the ultimate lamb that is mentioned in the Word of God, is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You remember that John the Baptist, when he began preaching, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so the Word of God here says that this beast that came up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now the word dragon in the Word of God usually has reference to the devil. And so we have this beast coming up out of the earth, and he looks like a lamb, but he sounds like a dragon. If you don't know the voice of Jesus, you'll follow this beast, which is a representative of the devil himself, but you'll follow the devil, and the whole time you'll think that you're following Jesus Christ. The most effective way for you to never be deceived, or for you to reduce the number of times that you are deceived by the devil, is for you to study the Word of God carefully, because as we read and study the Word of God, we learn truth that will keep us from being deceived by the devil. So this beast, and this beast that came up, there are two beasts. One came up out of the sea. The other came up out of the earth. The one that ruled over that beast that came out of the sea and out of the earth, the one that ruled over those two beasts was the dragon, who is the devil himself. So you have the devil, you have these two beasts that are coming up. One out of the earth is the one that we're looking at right now. He looks like a lamb, but he talks like the dragon. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going to follow this beast. Verse 12 says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Now that first beast, again, is part of the devil's regime. That first beast had been wounded, but he was healed. And the second beast caused the people that dwelled in the earth, caused them to begin to worship the first beast. Can you imagine worshiping the devil? There are a lot of devil worshipers. In fact, sometimes everybody here has bowed down to the devil. Verse 13, talking about the power that this beast had, and them worshiping the other beast. Verse 13 says, "And he," that's this beast that came up out of the earth, part of the devil's regime, "he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, this beast caused fire to come down from heaven. Do you remember anybody in the Old Testament that called for fire to come down from heaven? What was his name? Elijah. Elijah, remember, was he went against the prophets of Baal. They built an altar, and they dug a trench around that altar, and they poured all the water on the altar and on the sacrifice. And he told the Philistines, "Now call on your God. Let's see him partake of that offering, and they called on their gods, and they screamed, and they yelled, and they cut themselves, but nothing happened to the altar or to the sacrifice. And then Elijah called for fire to come down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice and the stones and the altar and lapped up the water and the dust. The fire came down from heaven as Elijah, the man of God, called for fire to come down from heaven. Now, do you see that there's a reason that this beast called for fire to come down from heaven? It was to deceive the people of God, because earlier, and they knew the word of God, they knew that Elijah had called for fire to come down from heaven, and the devil is going to do everything he can to imitate Jesus Christ and to imitate God. And so he called for fire to come down from heaven, and fire came down from heaven. I want you to know, brethren, if you're going to follow what you think, what you see, and what you feel, you will follow the devil. You will not follow God. If your faith is based on what you see and what you think and what you feel, you will follow the devil. Does the devil have the power to call for fire to come down from heaven? Did he do it right here? And his intent and his purpose was, what's the word we're looking at today? His intent and purpose was to deceive the people. And I think that was one of the most effective ways to deceive the people, was to call for fire to come down from heaven. Because if you and I don't know the word of God and we saw someone call for fire to come down from heaven, I think you and I would conclude that's a man of God. I'm going to do what he says. So he called for fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. Verse 14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those, what's the next word there? Miracles. Did you know the devil has the power to perform miracles? Does God certainly perform miracles? Without a doubt. Now, if you are the devil and you have the power to call for fire to come down from heaven, you're going to call for fire to come down from heaven. If you have the power to perform miracles, you're going to perform miracles. Why are you going to do those things? To deceive the people of God. Because most of the people of God think the devil does not have such great power. The devil has more power than you and I can comprehend. God is more powerful, but the devil has power. And if you don't stay close to the Lamb, the dragon will eat you up. He will destroy your life. He will deceive you. Because he can do things that you will conclude, that's God. That's the Lord leading. That's God telling me what to do. And the whole time, you're doing something that's completely against what God's word says. The devil's got a lot of power, and the devil is deceiving a lot of God's dear children today. And the devil can call for fire to come down from heaven, and the devil can perform miracles. And if you're not careful, you will be deceived, and you will be destroyed by the deceiver, the devil. What is the devil's purpose? Jesus tells us the devil is a liar and a murderer. You remember back there in Genesis chapter 3? You remember in Genesis chapter 2, God had told Adam and Eve, he says that in the day that thou eatest of that forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely what? Die. And the devil comes along in Genesis chapter 3 and tells the woman, you will not surely die. Did he lie? But did she believe him? What does the word deceive mean? It means to make a person believe as true something that is false. Did the devil lie? Did he get her to believe that he was telling the truth? Did the devil deceive Eve? The New Testament tells us that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Eve believed what the devil said. And I pray that God will help us to understand the devil is real. God is real. The devil is powerful. God is more powerful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'm telling you, the devil is powerful, and he can deceive you without you staying very close to God and without you studying God's word. He'll make you believe things are true that are not true at all. Many of God's people today have been led down paths and believe things that are found nowhere in God's word. How do they do that? How does the devil get them to believe false doctrines? It's because they don't know the Word of God. It sounds good, and a lot of people say it, so it must be true. Oh, especially if it comes from the pulpit, it must be true. Tell you, brethren, the devil has more people probably in the pulpits today than God does in America. The devil's got people in the pulpits. The devil has preachers and the devil has deacons that are going around deceiving people. A lot of people that are being deceived because they don't know the Word of God. He looks like a what? What's he look like? Looks like a lamb. And if you don't know his voice real good, you'll say, you know, I believe that's the Lord talking to me. I heard his voice. Well, he spoke to me. The problem is when somebody speaks to you and it does not harmonize with God's Word, you have just been spoken to by the devil. And if you don't know the Word of God and you're not going to follow the Word of God, you'll follow the devil. And the whole time, what are you thinking? I'm following Jesus. It's the Lord's doing. Verse 15, after it says that the devil was able to do those miracles. Let me read all of 14. And he deceiveth them. He deceiveth them. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power. This is the devil, the beast. He had power to give life. Absolutely amazing. It has to be God. It has to be God. Why? Why do you think it has to be God? Because he gave life. Wouldn't that deceive you if you saw somebody raise someone from the dead? If you saw somebody give life, wouldn't you think, well, this has to be of God? People are basing their beliefs and their thoughts and their actions and their following what they see and what they hear and what they feel instead of knowing the Lord. Following him, it is easy to be deceived. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Do you know the only ones that didn't worship the image of the beast are the Christians that were so close to God, they knew it was of the devil. And many, many of their brothers and sisters in Christ despised them because of the position that they held that was contrary to what they thought and what they felt and what they wanted to do. And so they followed the beast, and the beast destroyed them. But the people will kill the Christians, and that's what happened to the disciples of Jesus because they hated the real Christians. They thought they were following. Who did they think they were following? They thought they were following God. Here's what the scripture says. They thought they were doing God service. They thought they were pleasing the Lord. I think the Apostle Paul, when he was killing Christians, I think he thought he was doing God service. I think many other people that despise and hate truth, I think they think that they're following truth, when in fact they're following error. So there's a great conflict going on in the world today. And there are many, even the so-called Christian world is greatly divided today. And it's divided because people don't know truth. The truth will set you free from following that beast. Can churches be deceived? Can a whole church be deceived? Back up just a few pages in your Bible. We're back up to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. We'll look at just a moment. In fact, if you'll look at at least five of these churches were deceived. The majority of those churches and the majority of the people in each church were deceived. I do not believe the majority of those people were not children of God. I believe they were children of God, but they were children of God that were deceived. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, here's what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, what did the church say about herself? I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What did Jesus say? You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Was there a difference in what Jesus said and what they thought about themselves? Do you know why they thought that about themselves? Because they had been deceived by the devil. Let me tell you something, brethren. Every one of us needs to carefully examine ourselves, because we're being deceived in many ways in our lives. And unless we repent, we'll be destroyed. Do you see that these other churches, they were deceived? One church at Sardis, they had a name that they lived, looked alive, full of people, no doubt, growing, maybe building new buildings. He says, you've got a name that you live, but you're dead. Were a lot of people deceived as they looked at the church at Sardis? Was the church at Sardis deceived about herself? Who deceived them? It was the devil that deceived those churches. Back up in your Bibles very quickly, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 13. I want us to understand the power of the devil. I want us to understand, as we read from 2 Corinthians 13, that the devil has power to call for fire to come down from heaven. He has the power to give life. He has the power to perform miracles. The devil has a lot of power. The devil has a lot of people in pulpits. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, "For such are false apostles." Are there true apostles? Were there true apostles? But in that same day that there were true apostles, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, there are false apostles. Do you think they look alike? Do they look alike? Do they sound alike in many, many ways? Do you think a false apostle will be very appealing to your flesh? Do you think a false apostle probably is going to look good? And a false, and he could be ugly like me too, but I'm telling you, the devil knows how to appeal to you. I know that early in my ministry, somebody gave me a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, by Norman Vincent Peale, and I got Teresa to read it and tell me what it said. And I want you to know, brethren, you can't follow that and always stand up for Jesus. You can't be everybody's friend and follow what God's Word says. You cannot be a true disciple of Jesus. You cannot be a true Christian and everybody love you. They'll hate you. Best Christian that's ever lived was Jesus Christ Himself. And He was hated. He was hated the most. He wasn't hated because He came to die on the cross of Calvary. He wasn't hated because He healed people. He wasn't hated because He performed miracles and raised the dead. He was hated because He confronted people with sin. That's what caused Him to be hated. He would tell the people, what you're doing is wrong. Does that make people like you? Not at all. But is it necessary? Is that what we're supposed to do, is try to help one another and work with one another? Because we love one another. Because we love the Lord. Because we know somebody's out there trying to get us. Satan is as a roaring lion. He's going to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. And he's devouring a lot of God's dear children today. A lot of young people are being devoured by the devil. The devil's a deceiver. He's a devourer. And we need to know the devices of the devil in our lives, or else he will devour us. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." I never noticed this till last night in studying and thinking and meditating on this week. But that says deceitful workers. Now, the thing that stood out was deceitful, but they're workers. A lot of Christians are L-A-Z-Y. Everybody hear what I just said? Can't spell good. It's lazy. The devil's workers are not lazy. The devil's workers are workers. They're deceitful workers, but they're workers. They're busy. And true Christians are busy. They're workers. And they can tell the difference in the devil's workers and the Lord's workers. And there's nobody that's perfect. Don't get the idea that you're going to find this perfect Christian, because they just don't exist. And if you're going to find fault with everybody and mark them off your list just because they've got this fault and that fault and this problem, I'm not talking about overlooking ungodliness, gross ungodliness, but you cannot nitpick with people and ever be a Christian. The Bible says that charity covers a multitude of sins. That is, you might offend me, I say, it's all right. You might offend me again, it's all right. We just keep forgiving each other. Do you understand? all these personal offenses and little things people do that make you mad, you better learn to have some charity. Because if you don't have charity, people aren't going to have charity towards you either. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're doing what? Transforming. Remember, I've seen some little children with little things, and it'll look like a man, and then they go to working it, and guess what it does? Turns into a what? A car. How in the world did that man turn in? I could never do it. They'd hand it to me, and I could never get it to do that. But they were called transformers, I think, weren't they? They were transformed. They would change from a man to a car, or a car back to a man, moving it around, moving the parts around. Well, brethren, the devil is transformed. And when he's transformed, he looks just like the Lord's servant. It's no wonder that he says they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You look at an angel of light, what do you automatically conclude? An angel of light, messenger from God. God, maybe Jesus himself. And the devil is transformed into an angel of light. Does he look just like Jesus? Verse 15 says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, that is the devil's ministers, does the devil have ministers? Workers, deceitful workers? Yes, he does. It's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. The devil and his angels, they are deceitful workers. Back up in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 24. Please look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 24. I want you to notice as Jesus is here describing the destruction of Jerusalem and talking about how he's going to bring his judgments on Jerusalem and the temple. The temple was going to be destroyed. Do you know why the temple was going to be destroyed? Do you know why Jerusalem was going to be destroyed? It's because the people of God had begun to worship devils, demons. And what did they think they were worshiping? They thought they were worshiping God. Matthew 24, here's what Jesus says as he warns them about the destruction of Jerusalem that was about to take place. In Matthew chapter 24, and I believe, brethren, these words are just as applicable to you and I today, to you and me today, as they were to these people then, because the destruction that came on Jerusalem in 70 AD, that same destruction is about to come on the United States of America. And the only people that were spared in the destruction of Jerusalem are those that knew the difference in the beast, the dragon, and the lamb. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God says, and Jesus, Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. What does take heed mean? Be careful, beware, look out, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, we started out in Revelation 13 and Revelation 3 and 2 Corinthians 11. We started out just talking about the devil himself deceiving us. Now, the devil has these ministers that are transformed into angels of light and to messengers of God. And so people often are used by the devil to deceive us. People. Can a girl deceive a boy? Can a boy deceive a girl? Can a preacher deceive a congregation? Can a congregation deceive a preacher? Can you deceive me? Can you deceive me? Can I deceive you? Absolutely. At least for a little while. Eventually it'll come to light. Darkness will be exposed. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5 says, for many shall come in my name. They're coming in the name of the Lord. They're coming in the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Why will they deceive the people? Because the people don't have their senses exercised to distinguish between good and evil. You remember what Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says? It says the people were unskillful in the Word of God, and their spiritual senses were not able to tell the difference in good and evil. Therefore, whenever he comes along and he says, I'm of Christ, and he deceives the people and leads them astray. Verse 11, Matthew 24, verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Come down to verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Are these men going to be able to do great signs and wonders? Absolutely. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what kind of men were these going about that were deceiving the children of God? Would you say they were, and I'm going to put it in quotation marks, but would you say they were religious men? Yes, they were religious men. This idea about religious being only related to, there are all kinds of religion. The Apostle Paul said that when he was a Jew killing Christians, he was good in the Jews' religion. Muslims have their religion. There are false Christians. They have their religion, but it's not based on a thus saith the Lord. Not all of it. Now, they'll have enough thus saith the Lord to trick a lot of people. Religious men can deceive the people of God. The devil and his angels are going around seeking to destroy and devour you. I think we're going to stop there. I have about 6 months of preaching on being deceived. I'm serious. Don't laugh too hard. And some of it, as we go along, some of it, I will almost guarantee you that some of you are going to get very angry, because I'm going to identify some specific ways that I see that some of us are being deceived in our lives. Now, you can come to me and you can talk to me about ways you see I'm being deceived, but I have a responsibility as your pastor for us to all talk about ways we're being deceived. And if I can show you that from God's Word, then I pray that you'll receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God, and not the words of men. So we'll continue tonight studying about being deceived. Pray that God will help us to come and worship God and study His Word, that we might not be deceived any further. My prayer for Christ's sake.